Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Week 2 review episode of the Bears Talk Underground is brought to you by MyBookie. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or would you keep walking? Of course you take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting at is just as important as who you're betting on, and I wouldn't be telling you to go to these guys if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet football, bet with MyBookie. You can do fantasy points. You can do over-under. You can do prop bets. They got tons of prop bets, not to mention they got NCAA football. You know, they got everything under the sun. And did you know that you can bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. And if you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you multiply your winnings, and no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year to do so. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code CHAIR to activate the offer. That's promo code CHAIR. Visit mybookie.ag today, where MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. And I don't know about the rest of you, but, you know, I'm getting up there, and I've, you know, got a few gray hairs, and I acquired a few more yesterday in the last 8 minutes of the game when the Broncos started their comeback. But we persevered. We survived. And most importantly, We won. It's a Victory Monday episode of the Bears Talk Underground, so let's get to it. You know, when they publicize or when they promote horror movies, they always say you're going to pay for the whole seat, but you're only going to need the edge of it. And for the last several minutes of the fourth quarter, that is what I was doing in my living room, in my chair, watching the game on Sunday as I watched a 13-3 lead, which for the majority of the football game, a 10-point lead seemed like a 100-point lead the way the Bears were playing defense. We were shutting the Broncos down. Yeah, they moved the sticks occasionally, but they never really made any progress outside of the first drive of the football game. And then it all came crashing down as the heat and the altitude started to take an effect on our defense, and our offense couldn't do them any favors and keep them off of the field. What's going on, everybody? Larry D back, the Week 2 review episode of the Bears Talk Underground. It is a Victory Monday episode. Halle freaking Luya. Am I right? Eddie Pinheiro, the hero. We got knee-jerk reactions. You guys are going to love these things. And, you know, it was a stress ball of a football game. We knew it was going to be tough. We had tradition and history basically against us. You know, I talked to Lattimore Volkman during the preview episode about the success that the Broncos have had in Mile High, especially in the first few weeks of the season or in the month of September. And two of the things that she said could affect an opponent coming into town, A, the altitude, and B, the heat. Well, obviously we have that Mile High air in Denver, no matter what time of year it is, and it was also 90 degrees outside. So it was almost like a replay of the Miami game last year, where we come in off a 10-day rest, and it's, you know, we got the heat and humidity of Miami, only this time it was the heat, and as Lori told us, not humid, but the altitude, the light air, out there in Denver and Colorado starting to affect, and it took a toll on the defense, and you could see it slowly slipping away, which is what was so frustrating about the fourth quarter, was, you know, the defense had held on as long as it could. The offense, once again, struggled to put significant points on the board. We'll talk more about the offense here in a minute, but it was very frustrating to watch. The defense struggled mightily at the end, and you could just tell that they had run out of gas. They were running on fumes there towards the end, and especially after that field goal when the Broncos made it 13-6, it was that would have been a really great time for maybe the offense to hang on to the football for about 5 minutes, get a couple of first downs, give the defense a breather, maybe get a field goal in there, extend the lead if you can or anything like. But at the very least, don't go in there and go 3-and-out, which is virtually exactly what they did. Gave the football right back to the Broncos. I mean, the Bears dominated time of possession in the first two quarters, and I would say the majority of the first three quarters, and in the end it was the Broncos that had a 32-27 advantage in time of possession. So they virtually had the ball for most of the fourth quarter, and you could see it taking a toll on our defense as they had very little to muster against Flacco and Emmanuel Sanders, who was a thorn in our side all day long on Sunday. And you know, they overcame. They took the lead. 31 seconds to go. With the way our offense was playing, I knew it wasn't over, but I was ye of little faith. It's like, man, I'm going to keep watching this, but I'm not feeling good about what we have, what we're up against here, what the possibilities are. It was a difficult situation to have to stomach. And, but we made it. We made it. You know, we pulled off our last minute heroics. We got a gift from the referees that any Bear fan will tell you is probably more of a makeup penalty than anything else, with that roughing the passer call on Mitch. Mitch made the play that made the play that set up the field goal, got the timeout called with 1 second left. The NFL actually reviewed that today and confirmed that the referees got that right. Those assholes didn't get much right in that game on Sunday. They were terrible pretty much across the board. They were equally terrible for both teams, but they actually did get that one right. Allen Robinson went down. There was a second to go, and there's actually a picture. I forgot where I saw it on Twitter today. There is a picture. Allen Robinson is down. They got it all in one frame. It was an amazing photo. They got Allen Robinson is on the ground. Mitch is calling timeout, and a referee in the left-hand corner is acknowledging the timeout. So there's photographic evidence right there that the Bears got that timeout in with 1 second left. I think Vic Fangio today was saying that was impossible, but that's, like I said, it's unfortunate. You'll hear me in the knee-jerk reactions talk about, you know, how heartbreaking it all would be. You know, if, like, I feel for Vic. I feel for Broncos fans. I feel for our friend Lori Lattimore Volkman. It's a terrible way to lose a football game when the refs kind of take it out of your hands, or if you feel like all the calls are going against you, almost like it was rigged. And if it was me, I'd definitely be ranting and raving right now about how the refs.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
screwed us, and so I totally get it. I get it. However, it went for us, and we win, and I'll take it, because 0-2 would have been a daunting task to overcome, just because I think the morale alone, to have the game in control for the majority of it, to let it slip away literally at the last second and come up short, I think would have been very demoralizing for the team. Not that they aren't resilient enough and they still have 14 games to come back from it. It just would have been a tough pill to swallow, you know, combined with the way that the team performed against the Broncos, where the offense let us down and it was the defense that was stellar, when this week it was the defense, you know, with forces working against them, and I mean Mother Nature in this case, the defense that quote-unquote let us down this time around, giving up that 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. It was a difficult, difficult thing, and I feel like if we hadn't overcome the way that we did, it would have been difficult to recover from going forward. So I'm glad we don't have to entertain the idea of what we'll have to do with the future and going forward. We are a 1-1 football team. We go on the road next week to the Redskins, and which will be an interesting ball game. The Skins are 0-2. They've given up a lot of points, but they've also scored a lot of points as well. They lost 32-27 last week, 31-21 yesterday. Both division games to the Eagles and Cowboys, who were supposed to be better than them anyway. And now you have the Bears coming into town to FedEx Field or whatever. I'm pretty sure it's still FedEx Field out there in Virginia. And we'll see how the Bears manage to go a week from today when they play the Skins. So let's dive into this thing. You know, we'll start with the first quarter knee-jerk reaction, and not quite as optimistic as it was a week ago, as it was kind of more of the same. The offense isn't really doing much right now. The defense, however, after kind of a bend-but-don't-break first drive where the Broncos got a field goal, is being their usual daunting, stellar selves. And where, you know, I'm not really sure how to feel about the game because it looks very familiar to the way it was played out last Thursday.
Knee-jerk reaction to the first quarter of the Bears and the Broncos, and it's a bit of a prettier sight than it was last week. On defense, we are still our old stifling selves. I don't want to say relax on the first drive, but, you know, the Broncos basically came out with the template on how to offset our defense. Get the ball out quick, got the slants coming through the middle of the field, that kind of thing. We're able to get inside field goal range before the defense finally shut them down. And a 43-yard field goal for McManus put the Broncos up 3-0 to kick things off. You kind of got the heebie-jeebies after the first offensive drive. We ran the ball twice to start, which was nice to see, but we had gained 1 yard on two plays, and then hard to say. In the end, it was kind of a hindsight thing. I think Mitch made the wrong decision. He made a great throw. He made a great throw. He hit Tariq Cohen deep. The defensive back made a great play and knocked the ball out of Cohen's hands. So it was kind of a missed opportunity. However, Mitch was forced out of the pocket. He's kind of rolling to his right, and he had Mike Davis about 5 yards ahead of him, who could have gotten the first down. He throws it to Mike Davis. Mike Davis gets the first down. The chains keep moving. Mitch decides to go deep to Cohen, who made the catch, if not for the defensive back making a better play. He made the play and knocked the ball loose, so the Bears went 3-and-out on the first drive. So it's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing. Like I said, I question the decision. He made a great throw, so it wasn't like a complete disaster. If not for the DB making a great play, that whole thing works out great. And I'm sitting here talking about what an amazing play Trubisky made and so on and so forth. But it is what it is. The Bears are on their second offensive drive after the defense shut the Broncos down 3-and-out. It wasn't 3-and-out because we had a bogus unnecessary roughness call on Leonard Floyd. So it was 4-and-out for the Broncos. The defense is moving. We've converted on third down a couple of times. We've run the ball twice as much as we've passed thus far. So we got the ball now. 2nd and 9 for the Bears. Let's see how it goes from here. We're down 3-0 so far.
So, yeah, it was a mixed bag with that opening drive. Coming out with the running plays right away, even though we gained, I think, 1 yard on two carries. So we're at 3rd and 9. Mitch breaks the pocket. He's rolling right. And just before he gets to the line of scrimmage, and I actually, now in hindsight, think he may have actually been able to run for it, but he also had in stride running in front of him Mike Davis, which is what I talked about in the knee-jerk reaction. But instead, he decides to loft one down the field to Tariq Cohen, who was open. And like I said, he made a great throw. It was there. I've heard others say, like, maybe if you put a little bit more on it, then Tariq is, you know, put it out and behind, over Cohen, he'd have been able to run under it, and who knows what happens. Maybe he hits him in stride and he runs for a touchdown or something like that. But I think that that's, you know, it could have opened the floodgates if it worked. Maybe that's why Mitch went for the bigger play. You know, you would like to think that with all the struggles that he had last week, he would have taken the short play with Mike Davis or run it himself for the first down. But, you know, hindsight 2020, like I said, I questioned the decision. He made a great throw. It was there. The DB made an amazing play to knock the ball out of Cohen's hands to send the Bears 3 and out on the first drive. And then the Emmanuel Sanders, it was kind of the theme as to what would kill the Bears later on in the game, that first drive with Emmanuel Sanders, you know, getting Flacco, getting the ball out quick, doing those slant routes and everything. Emmanuel Sanders was the thorn in our side throughout the game, like I said before. So a pretty uneventful first quarter. I did mention the bogus unnecessary roughness call on Leonard Floyd. It turned out to be much ado about nothing because, like I said, the Bears were 3 and out after that play, but he tackled him and took him to the ground. He didn't pick him up and slam him on his head or anything like that. It was a bit more of an aggressive tackle, I will admit that, but he didn't do anything malicious. He took the guy to the ground. He pulled him to the ground, and the referees flagged it. And it later on in the game, Eddie Goldman got called for a roughing the passer when he took Joe Flacco to the ground, and they called it as though he put his body weight on one of those where you lean in on your body and put all of your weight on the quarterback. Goldman didn't do that. Honestly, he did not. And even Mark Schlereth and the corpse of Dick Stotkin agreed that it was a bad call. In fact, all three of those three unsportsmanlike conduct or personal foul calls they disagreed with, and I agree with them. Even the one that gave the Bears an extra 15 yards on the game-winning drive was a bad call. That was not that was not roughing the passer. I don't see how they could justify that it was. I mean, the only thing that's even remotely close is if Bradley Chubb hit Mitch in the back of his head with his helmet, but it wasn't like leading with the crown or anything like that. So again, there was no malicious intent. He was just trying to sack the quarterback, and it, you know, I can't defend the flag other than to say that, well, they screwed us twice earlier in the game, so at least they're being consistent with this level of call. Like, they're making bad calls consistently. You know, it just happened to come at a really, really bad time for the Broncos. That was a free 15 yards. That's 15 yards the Bears didn't have to earn to get themselves into field goal range at the end of the ball game. But the one on Floyd was bogus, and then it would basically set the precedent for the kind of crew that we were working with in this football game. But second quarter knee-jerk reaction, it is the Eddie Pinheiro show. We get 2 field goals out of him. We continue to shut down the Broncos on offense and go into halftime with a lead, unlike last week.
Knee-jerk reaction, the second quarter, the Bears and the Broncos. A little bit more of the same. It is definitely a defensive battle. Currently, Eddie Pinheiro has scored every single point the Bears have mustered in 6 quarters in 2019. He added 2 field goals in the second quarter, one from 40, one from 52, taking advantage of that high altitude, low air, or whatever it is that gives it such an advantage. And put the Bears up 6-3. The defense, I think, has definitely got Flacco and company figured out. And I was just thinking a few moments ago on that last drive from the Broncos, I kind of get the feeling that our DBs have Flacco clocked now. I really get the feeling that he's going to serve one up for us before the day is out. We're going to get an interception or maybe even a pick six. I really feel like the DBs have got him down. Maybe he's even double pumping it because our pass rush is starting to get to him a little bit more. The defense is doing its job, 3 points in the first half. Our offense still struggling to maintain, still struggling to close out drives. We've 6 quarters in, we haven't scored our first touchdown yet in 2019. But we start with the football. I'm hoping things will loosen up here in the second half. The Broncos, the one thing Lori Lattimore of Oakman didn't mention when I told her, when I brought up the Broncos September record in Mile High, is that the Broncos are 17-1 in the last 18 seasons and in their home opener. So Jesus Christ, how could she not tell me that? But it's 6-3, so it's still a close ball game. But I feel like if the Bears can come out and score a touchdown to start the second half, we might be able to cruise along for the rest of the football game. The Bears have control of this one. We just need a play to shut them down.
So you heard me mention the DBs, and I really did feel that way. It was kind of, you know, it wasn't like we had a lot of close calls or anything. It's just that it was starting to get to the point where when Flacco would throw the ball, our DBs were there immediately to make the play on the defense, you know, to get after the receiver, and they were always right there. And I kind of felt like they kind of sensed where the ball was going, and that eventually, if that kept up, then Eddie Jackson would just hit one in stride, and like a la the Detroit and Thanksgiving, where he knew where the ball was going the whole time the ball got there. Like, he got there just in perfect time in stride to intercept the football, and he was already at top speed when he caught the ball. Nobody was going to catch him for that touchdown against the Lions on Thanksgiving last year. I really felt like something like that was going to happen. And we did get one from Flacco, not like I thought we would. It was more of a great play from Kyle Fuller and everything, and at a critical time in the game. We'll talk a bit more about that later on. But it was I really felt like the DBs were going to be able to get one off of him in the second half. I really felt like maybe an adjustment here, a tweak there, or something, that Pagano might put them in a position to be able to jump a route and take one home. Unfortunately, that it didn't happen that way. We did get one from Flacco. It did cost the Broncos huge, but not in the way that I was kind of envisioning watching the Bears and the way that they reacted in the second quarter. So when we go into the second half, like I said, I was hoping the Bears might be able to come out fast in the second half, put something together, move the chains, get a touchdown on the board, still waiting for the first one after 6 quarters of football. That didn't happen, unfortunately. We had to wait until the last drive of the third quarter to finally put one in the end zone. And you hear me talk about in the knee-jerk reaction how Mitch kept making a decision that I disagreed with pretty much every single time he made it on the end of that drive. We got a couple of big plays from Cordarrelle Patterson, which was the play of that drive. We got a nice jet sweep from Taylor Gabriel. David Montgomery took care of the rest, including scoring our one and only touchdown on Sunday. But you'll hear me talk about this and see if you guys agree with me. I didn't like the decision that Mitch kept making there at the goal line inside the 5-yard line. I didn't think he was reading it right.
Knee-jerk reaction to the third quarter, the Bears and the Broncos. And we just finished our first touchdown drive of 2019. And it was all runs. We didn't pass the ball once. Cordarrelle Patterson with the biggest play of the drive. Took a straight-up pitch 46 yards down the sideline to get the Bears in the red zone. David Montgomery did most of the heavy lifting from there. Got one of those jet sweeps from Taylor Gabriel where he got to turn the corner and got some yardage. It was all runs, though. Every single play on that drive was a run, including, like, the five shots from the inside the five to get in the damn end zone. And the thing about it is, it was one of those option reads, and I felt like Mitch made the wrong read every single time, because Bradley Chubb, the outside linebacker and the edge rusher for the Broncos, was crashing down on the inside so hard that I felt like if Mitch had kept the ball, like, you know, if, when Chubb breaks for, goes to the inside to get the running back, if Mitch keeps the football, he'll waltz into the end zone. He could have moonwalked in if he wanted to. That's how, like, no one would have been there, or at least Mitch versus the DB that was there, I'd take that matchup all day long. You know, Chubb was crashing down so hard trying to stop the run from the outside that if Mitch keeps the ball, we probably end the drive at least two or three plays earlier than we actually did. But Montgomery gets the touchdown. Eddie Pinheiro kicks the point through. We got a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter. The Broncos doing some pretty nifty passing there at the end of the third quarter. They've gotten some big chunks of yardage so far, so they're driving right now. But throughout the first three quarters of the game, a 10-point lead is significant. Two scores against this defense. Good luck, Broncos. But it looks like they're on the verge of at least a field goal this time around. Hopefully defense can seize up and shut them down and protect this lead. But right now we're 15 minutes away from our first win of 2019.
And that nifty passing, as I called it, did lead to the field goal that made it a one-score game in the fourth quarter. And again, the struggle of the offense there, and again, like I said, the on the touchdown drive with Mitch and those option reads, Bradley Chubb, even on the play where for David Montgomery scored, Montgomery was trying to do one of those dive over the top deals a la Walter Payton. The only thing that kept him from flying over the top, Bradley Chubb grabbing his legs as he jumped in the air. If Mitch keeps the football, if he keeps the ball, he would be able to, like I said, if it's him against the DB, I'll take that bet every single time. I'll take that matchup. Remember week one last year against the Packers, the very first touchdown we scored last year was an option read. Mitch hangs onto the football. He beats the DB to the inside, scores the touchdown. The Bears are up 7-0 on Green Bay to start the football game. I feel like if Mitch hangs on to the football instead of handing it off to Montgomery like five straight times, whenever Mitch decides to do it, he scores easily. He waltzes in. I believe that wholeheartedly. I don't know if Nagy demanded that he keep giving the rookie the football, or if they really just wanted him to pound it in, or whatever. But I really felt like Bradley Chubb did not care. He was coming at such a rate, such a speed, that he wouldn't have been able to stop in time to tackle Mitch. Mitch would have run right past him as he, you know, had to slam on the brakes and then try to pivot backwards to get to Mitch. Mitch would have walked in easily. So I felt like, again, Mitch made the wrong decision. Like, I questioned the decision he made on the Tariq Cohen throw, even though it was a hair from working out, it didn't work out. Instead, he should have taken the short throw to Mike Davis or run it himself for the first down. I do question his decision making here. On that play, he could have saved us like four plays or something like that if he'd have held on to the football and run it in himself. Bradley Chubb gave no credence whatsoever to the fact that Mitch might hang on to the football. He was crashing down so hard, the hole was opening itself there on the end. So I think Mitch made a bad decision there. And then as I was saying before, the nifty passing that the Broncos had was basically the catalyst for the entire fourth quarter. That's what the Broncos stuck with. Flacco ended up throwing 50 passes yesterday against the Bears. They all but abandoned the run at the end of the football game because we were getting gassed out. And when they did run the football, they were able to get big chunks because our defense was running out of gas there at the end. Both Lindsey and I think Royce Anderson, I think was the other running back's name, were able to get chunks of, I think they were averaging like 7 or 8 yards a carry in the fourth quarter. It wasn't pretty. But in the end, it was Emmanuel Sanders scores the touchdown with 31 seconds to go. And then a wild series of events. And I have a bonus knee-jerk reaction for you guys, because Emmanuel Sanders and the Broncos score the touchdown. And then the chaos that ensues afterwards, I knew that I had to record it. I knew I had to record a reaction as I was watching it, just because it was kind of an unprecedented thing.
I can't believe this. Broncos scored a touchdown to make it 13-12. Originally, Fangio was going to go for two, but they got caught with a delay of game. So then Fangio decides to go with the kick to tie up the game. Bust a screen, jumps off sides, and the kicker misses the extra point. So we just won the game, and we might have just lost it as well, because I think now Fangio is going to go for two. And here we go. They are going for two, and let's see if Buster Skrine just possibly cost us the game. There's 31 seconds left. The Bears have one timeout left. I don't know if they're going to use it here to kind of take a look at what the Broncos want to do and then reset or what, but the defense has been gassed here in the fourth quarter. It's an empty set. Flacco's in the shotgun, back to throw, fires, and it's a two-pointer. Jesus Christ. God damn it. 31 seconds to go, one timeout, and our offense has been garbage all day. It has been terrible. Even in the one offensive drive that we had that resulted in a touchdown, we ran the ball every play, and it took us five attempts from the five-yard line to get into the end zone. So we're down 14-13. There's 31 seconds to go. We'll see what happens from here.
Can't you just hear the overwhelming optimism in my voice? I knew something like that. Something was going to happen. I was either going to be, you know, hooting and hollering because we just won the game, or our defense just saved Buster Skrine's ass, or something like that. But it was such an odd series of events that took place. You know, the Broncos are going to go for two. They're at home, which is odd. You know, usually if you're the road team and you've got, you know, you want to get the win and get out of town kind of thing. If you're the home team, we want to take it to overtime. These guys have nothing left. That's where I kind of question what Fangio did there. It worked out for them for the moment, but I think that it would have been a much more advantageous thing for the Broncos to take the extra point and send it to overtime. And let's go to overtime, and we'll wear these guys out. You know, we got a 50-50 shot at getting the football, and if we get it, we're just going to wear – these guys have nothing left. Let's take the football, let's wear them down the field, and they got nothing left. And God forbid, if we only end up with a field goal, their offense is trash. Just like I said, we've been struggling the entire football game. Our offense was doing the defense zero favors as far as getting them off the field or keeping them off the field. For the extended time, they were terrible on third down again this week. Three of 11 on third down in this football game. They did the defense no favors, especially in that second half. And in the fourth quarter was no better. The fourth quarter was awful. So, you know, I just wasn't optimistic about what we could do. But at the same time, I wasn't going to give up, because Mitch has done wild things like this before. You know, it's not what he's known for, that's for sure, but he has been clutch in these situations. I mean, think back to his rookie year, that Detroit game. He had to make that run on like 4th and 19, and he got it on his own to set us up for an embarrassing Connor Barth field goal attempt where he didn't even kick it in the same zip code as the uprights or anything like that. That overtime game, the victory in Baltimore, that amazing throw that he made to Eddie Royal to set up the game-winning field goal in that football game. He did it over and over again. Well, not over and over again, but he stepped up in these big moments. But they haven't always worked out. In the three examples I can think of off the top of my head, the Baltimore game, we did win. Detroit, he put us in a position to tie the football game, and the kicker blew it for him. Same thing in the Eagles game in the wild card spot. One timeout, 59 seconds. We got to drive the length of the field to get it into field goal range. Mitch made the throws. He made the plays to get us there, and boom, the double doink. But, you know, Same thing here. 31 seconds, one timeout. We get a little help from the referees. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. But we all know what happened. Mitch made the big play with 9 seconds to go to get the ball to Robinson. 1 second left, we call the timeout. Eddie Pinheiro puts it through the uprights and saves the day. The Bears come away 1-1, looking forward to this matchup with the Redskins. And here's the knee-jerk reaction of my jubilation.
Knee-jerk reaction. Fourth quarter of the Bears and the Broncos. Eddie Pinheiro is the hero. He is a hero, baby. 53 yards with 1 second left to give the Bears a 16-14 win. Good God Almighty, I didn't think we were going to be able to pull this one off. And there's not a happy Bronco fan on the planet right now. I guarantee it. For two reasons. Number one, on this drive, the Broncos got stuck with a bogus roughing the passer call, which I don't feel sorry for because we got nailed with two bogus unsportsmanlike slash passing roughing the passer calls. So that was just the refs giving us one back. And on the second one, on the second to last play, Mitch broke the pocket, found Allen Robinson down the middle of the field. He goes down. You see the clock strike zero. Then it was ruled the Bears that he went down with 1 second. The Bears made the timeout call in time. So we got 1 second left to give Eddie the opportunity to kick it from 53 yards, and he pulled it off. Honestly, guys, we really didn't deserve to win this game. The defense was completely worn out in the fourth quarter, and I'm not putting that on the defense. I'm putting that on the offense. The offense simply didn't do enough today. They didn't do enough. They did enough at the very end there to put us in the right position, but We should have scored more. We were terrible on offense. This drive is what put Mitch over 100 yards passing for the day. You know, we focused more on the run, but even that wasn't as effective. The offensive line wasn't as good as we needed them to be in most spots. And I honestly think the Bears were playing scared on offense, too. You didn't see Mitch doing as many dropbacks as he did against Green Bay. When I mean dropbacks, I mean like 5 to 7 step drops. It was all first step, first read, boom, balls out, that kind of thing, which we were kind of chopping away at the defense, but it wasn't moving the chains. And I don't know. Hopefully we'll take this victory. It will spur us on. God knows it's going to boost morale here. But we'll take the win. I'll take the win. 16-14 over the Broncos. Only the second time in 18 years that the Broncos have lost their home opener. They had won 7 straight home openers, and the Bears were able to break the streak. My heart breaks for Vic Fangio and for the Broncos and for our good friend Lori Lattimore Volkman. But you know what, man? To hell with them. We needed this one, and we got it. So it wasn't pretty. We got the win. I'm happy with our defense, even though they ran out of gas at the end. It's our offense I'm still disappointed with, and the offense that we still need to see a lot more from. We get an extra day of rest because we're playing Monday night against the Redskins next week. Hopefully, we'll be able to get it together then.
And there it was. A lot to unpack there. A lot to unpack there. Number one, the Bears making the plays that they needed to make, or Mitch making the plays that they needed to make to put the Bears in position to set up Eddie Pinheiro for the game-winning field goal attempt. And Eddie, unlike Cody Parkey, makes the kick. He made the kick. He put it through the uprights. Boom, Bears win. We go home happy. It's going to be a happy plane ride, bus ride, whatever, getting back to Halas Hall for our beloved Chicago Bears with a 1-1 record instead of a 0-2 hole that they would have to try to figure out how to dig themselves out of going forward. So, but other things that I broached on the knee-jerk reaction itself, the bad call on Bradley Chubb. You heard me mention it before. We had bogus calls on Leonard Floyd for that unnecessary roughness, a joke of a pass, roughing the passer call on Eddie Goldman. this seemed to go in line with that. But like virtually they didn't want us touching any of the quarterbacks unless you ask the quarterback to gently lay down on the ground and concede. Apparently that was going to be a penalty unless you did that. You asked nicely and you had to use polite pleases and thank yous to get him to lay down. And yield to you. Otherwise, it's a roughing the passer call. We're going to tack on 15 yards to the end of the play. It was ridiculous. It was a horrible time for the Bears to get one back as far as the Broncos were concerned. But again, like I said earlier, it was a 15-yard penalty, and 15 yards the offense didn't have to earn on that play. So, I mean, I think it was like a 4 or 5 yard gain from Trey Burton, tack on the 15. It was like a 20-yard play thanks to the refs, not thanks to Bradley Chubb, thanks to the referees making a bad call and giving the Bears one back on that one. So, you know, it's terrible. You hate to win a football game that way. You hate to have it tainted by the refs basically taking the game out of the players' hands. That's exactly what they did. That's exactly what they did on that play. It worked out for us. I mean, just imagine if the roles were reversed and it was the Broncos going for it and they called that bogus, they called it on Leonard Floyd, you know, tackling Flacco from behind and calling it roughing the passer when it was not even close to roughing the passer. Mark Schlereth said it was wrong, and I agree with him. There wasn't much that I agree with him. I'm actually a big fan of Mark Schlereth at ESPN, and I have not been a fan of his work as a color commentator at all. Thus far, I'm not really a big fan. I really thought that he would be good at it, but he hasn't been. He hasn't. I don't know if it's because he's working with the corpse of Dick Stockton or what the situation is there, but he's not what I was hoping for / expecting in that situation. I mean, I was one of those people that was advocating for Schlereth to be the Monday night color guy when John Gruden left the booth to go back into coaching. I was like, Schlereth, I think Schlereth would be great at it. And whew, boy, was I wrong about that. He's terrible. I watched like the good chunk of the Sunday game last week with Arizona and Detroit, and then this week with the Bears and the Broncos. I really have not enjoyed what Schlereth has brought to the table at all thus far. Sorry, weird tangent. But still, he didn't agree with the call, and I agree with him as well. And you hate to see it go down that way, and, it sucks that happened. But it didn't suck completely for us because it worked in our favor. It set the Bears up on a path of success and getting Eddie Pinheiro set up for that field goal to shock the world and take the victory, to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat on that one. Because 31 seconds, one timeout, boy, it didn't look good. It didn't look good for us. Then the point that I made about the Bears kind of playing scared on offense, it really does kind of feel at the moment that there's not a lot of trust in the offense. And I don't know if it's trust against Mitch, if it was our lack of trust with the offensive line because of the way they performed against the Packers last week, but it seemed like Mitch was getting the ball out of his hands faster. He wasn't doing a lot of 5 and 7 step drops to look downfield or make reads or progressions. Basically, it was first read, first throw, boom, balls out. And on one hand, I'm sure that Nagy and company could explain it away by like, hey, we had Bradley Chubb and Von Miller coming after us. We got to get the ball out so we can get the ball, to our receivers' hands and our playmakers' hands to do that and blah, 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 blah. Except the offensive line, I did mention that they didn't perform well. It was in the running game that I wasn't happy with the offensive line. Pass blocking, I thought they were stellar. Second week in a row, Von Miller and Chad and Bradley Chubb were virtual non-factors in the football game. They really didn't offer up any pressures in the game. I think I saw on Twitter today that they had 5 pressures as opposed to maybe 1 in the game last week against the Raiders. So they've improved that point, but they got no sacks once again. And I'm pretty sure that hit on Mitch at the end of the game there that resulted in the roughing the passer call was as close as the Broncos got to sacking Mitch on Sunday. So it's the offensive line as far as their pass blocking was much better, and you think that maybe Nagy would have started to trust that and maybe try to open things up a little bit. I mean, with the way that we're running the football, and you heard me mention earlier about how Bradley Chubb was crashing down on the inside defending the run there at the goal line, that with the way that we're running the football, that it would have been a perfect setup for some play action pass. You just didn't really see that. So I don't know if it was lack of trust in the offensive line, combined with fear of Bradley Chubb and Von Miller, who are name wise better pass rushers than the guys that we faced last week. And if we had trouble with those guys, God knows what we're going to have with Von Miller and Bradley Chubb coming at us. So I don't know if it was fear, lack of trust in the offensive line, lack of trust in Mitch, or if Nagy just put blinders on and this is my game plan, this is how I'm doing it, this is what we're doing today, and to hell with whether or not it works out or not. I don't know. All I know is I don't think the offense ran the way that it should have on Sunday, or at least it wasn't paying attention to what was going on out there on the field. I don't feel like we were adjusting to what the Broncos were showing us. We were just running our offense, and this is what we came here to do. We came to run the football today, so that's what we're going to do, and God damn it, we did it. Even though at one point we probably should have just opened it up a little bit to see if we could get Robinson or Gabriel or Anthony Miller, man. Where has that guy been? And I know it's probably not on him. He had one target for one catch for 2 yards in that game. You know, this is the guy that we gave up this year's second-round pick to get last year and had an outstanding rookie season, led the team in touchdowns, and he has barely seen the field so far in 2019. Where has he been? You know, I don't give a damn what Mike Furry says and, oh, he's been out and he's been missing or whatever. You know what? If he's active, same thing with Trey Burton. He was barely on the field even though he was activated despite all the roster moves that we made just in case he wouldn't be. He was active. He did start the game. He did play. But it's like, if you're not going to play him full bore, then just keep sitting him. If we're not going to put Anthony Miller out there and him be a major contributor on this football team, then make him inactive. Put him out there when you're going to use him. Otherwise, we are wasting this kid, and we're probably frustrating him at the same time. You know, for the year that he had last year, and as good a year as he had despite that shoulder injury, you know, the fact that he was playing most of the season with only one arm after he dislocated his shoulder against the Cardinals last year, he's got to be frustrated. I'm sure that he is. So if we're not going to play Burton full bore, don't activate him. If you're not going to play Anthony Miller, don't activate him either. I mean, I think it would be far more frustrating to be dressed and not used as opposed to like, you know what, we're not going to use you today. We want you to sit this one out, blah, blah, blah. You know, you can be frustrated with that, but I think it's far more frustrating to be on the bench waiting for your number to get called and for it never to get called. That's probably going to be way more demoralizing than not being allowed to play at all, you know, because you don't sit there with the feeling that you could have done something when you weren't playing at all in the first place. You know, if you're standing there in street clothes, you know you're not going to have an impact on this football game. But if you're standing there with your helmet and your shoulder pads, you're dressed and you're ready to go, just waiting to get your number called, seeing things that you probably could have done or situations where you could have helped and not being allowed to do it has got to be more demoralizing, in my opinion. But anyway, like I said, guys, it was a win. We pulled off the victory, the mile high miracle, if you will. Eddie Pinero, Eddie Money, Eddie De Niro, whichever one of the nicknames you want to slap on him now, has definitely worked out. This guy ran the gauntlet that was the off-season kicking competition. A lot of people gave the Bears a lot of flack for how they handled it. Well, the guy that survived, he was the last man standing. He's working out like gangbusters so far, so maybe some teams are going to pay credence to what the Bears did and, you know, enable a process like that of their own in the preseason, offseason, if they're looking for a kicker of their own. So there you go. Those are your knee-jerk reactions. That's going to do it for the review. Before we wrap things up, I got some notes and stuff I want to share with you guys, and then we'll have the Bear Up and Bear Down. But first, use the promo code CHAIR to double your first deposit at MyBookie. That's MyBookie.ag. And use the promo code CHAIR to activate the offer and double your first deposit. And Well, let's see. How are we going to do this week? You know, guys, it was a difficult game to watch on Sunday. You know, sometimes if you're stressed out, you don't really feel that you're at your best. And if you need help, if you need a performance boost, I'm doing my best here, guys. Try Blue Chew. And, you know, if you want to increase your performance and get that extra confidence, then listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color. It brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, our favorite bathtub company. So you know it works. You can take them anytime, day or night, on a full or empty stomach, because God knows you don't want to take one on an empty stomach. But if you do, you're good. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises, like Eddie Pinero was yesterday. All four of his kicks went through the uprights. He's perfect so far in 2019. Hopefully that continues. Where was I? Most guys talk a good game, but Blue Chew helps you follow through. Like Eddie Pinero followed through with his kicks, put him through the goddamn uprights. Blue Chew is prescribed online, shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness like watching Cody Parkey kick field goals in 2018. They are made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they are cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code ARMCHAIR. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew, BlueChew.com, promo code ARMCHAIR to try it free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. So let's get back to the show. Okay, guys, wrapping things here up on the week two review episode of the Bears Talk Underground. A couple of things I want to cover before we get to our Bear Up and Bear Down segment. Doesn't really have much to do with the Bears, but it might affect us going down the line. Drew Brees yesterday in that big showdown with the LA Rams, the rematch of the NFC Championship game, had ligament damage to his throwing hand on his thumb, could be out 6 to 8 weeks, which would include the Saints' visit to Soldier Field next month after the bye. So, I mean, we would be facing Teddy Bridgewater instead of Drew Brees in Chicago. And, you know, that could definitely be helpful for us. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is no slouch. We've had difficulties with him in the past, but that's when he was a starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, not the backup for the New Orleans Saints. Now, granted, he could have enough time under his belt to be comfortable in the offense at that time. I just think I like my odds against Teddy Bridgewater a lot better than I like them against Drew Brees, even if it is a home game. So the football gods may have done us a favor on that one by making Drew Brees inactive for that game against the Bears in October. Speaking of inactive, we might be without Bilal Nichols for a while. The second-year defensive tackle hurt his hand. Speaking of hands, injured in the football game, ended up leaving, did not come back. When Nagy had his press conference earlier today, they said they'll know more in 24 to 48 hours, so we'll find out later this week what the long-term status of Bilal Nichols is. Hopefully it's not serious, as in IR. Serious. I think I did read that Nagy said he doesn't think it's a possibility, but he's not ruling it out. So we'll have to wait and see. Bilal Nichols is an outstanding young defensive tackle, another one of Ryan Pace's day three genius picks that has really worked out. He's a fifth rounder last year in 2018. So hopefully we get him back. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about before we get to the bear ups and bear downs for this week. Was I think I may have actually talked about this once before, but I want to reiterate this again just because it actually happened. It actually has happened now. And Desmond Clark, former tight end of our beloved Chicago Bears, has started a Facebook group that I was lucky enough to be invited to join. And last week, the week before, I think it was before the home opener against Green Bay, he posed the question to the group where he asked what we thought Eddie Pinero's field goal percentage was going to be for the season. And my answer was and still is now that I don't think his field goal percentage really matters, to be honest with you. I think it matters more if he makes the kicks that matter. Because last year, granted, statistically, Cody Parkey was not great. But if you swap out the kicks that he missed with the ones that he made, like let's say if you swap out a meaningless field goal in Buffalo, let's say he misses a field goal in Buffalo, but he makes that field goal in overtime against Miami. That changes the season. We're 13-3 instead of 12-4, and we're in a bye week, you know, in the playoffs and so on and so forth. If he makes the kicks that matter, then no one really cares what his field goal percentage is. If he's clutch, then I think that's more important for the Bears anyway, because Cody Parkey did not have a good season. We went 12-4 anyway. Just a perfect example being that game against the Lions where he made a name for himself, banging it off the upright four straight times in that football game. That had no effect whatsoever on the game. Only thing that it affected was the over-under. If you were betting the over-under, Cody Parkey screwed you because the Bears should have had, I think, like 41 points in that game, only walked away with like 33 because of the point. Two extra points, two field goals that Parkey missed in that football game. So that's 8 points he cost you. If the Bears didn't make the over, it was on Cody Parkey. Otherwise, we won that game handily, and the 33-20 final score that we did get wasn't indicative of how much the Bears dominated that football game. The Lions got a couple of garbage touchdowns against the prevent defense to make it as close as the final score would show. But otherwise, the Bears were up 26-0 at one point. The Lions had no business with being on the field with us that week. So, but you know, if you swap out a couple of the kicks that Cody Parkey missed and you know, like meaningless field goals or something like that, like take a, like I said, the Buffalo one's the perfect example. It's the only one I can really think of right off the top of my head. Take that one. Say he misses the field goal that he made in Buffalo, but he makes that one in Miami. We have a different opinion of Cody Parkey going into it. Yeah, we're probably a little bit shaky, but he made a kick that mattered. He made a clutch kick. And that's what exactly Eddie Pinheiro has done so far. He's done the one thing Cody Parkey couldn't do for us last year. And he stepped up, made the kick we needed him to make at the absolute moment we needed him to do it. Cody Parkey let us down in those instances last year. Eddie Pinheiro has yet to let us down yet. I mean, it's with the way our offense is playing, every kick that he makes is important. Every single one. Until we figure out what we're doing on offense, you know, and starting to put multiple touchdowns on the board and playing like the well-oiled machine we all thought we were getting coming into this season, every single kick that Eddie is going to attempt this year will be important because points will be at a premium. You know, we're going to be stuck in a lot of these 16-14 battles if the offense doesn't get it figured out. Or, God forbid, unless the defense starts scoring touchdowns like they did last year, our offense is going to have to start figuring it out because the defense can't do this week in and week out. They are capable of it, but we can't expect it from them. We can't expect them to only allow one touchdown per game the entire season. They can do it, but we can't expect them to. It's not fair. It is not fair to expect the defense to perform like that week in and week out, despite the horses and, you know, Chuck Pagano and everything else. We can't expect that of them. It's not fair. We have to be a team, and the offense needs to pick them up. So I still stick to my point that I made in the discussion group that I really don't think his percentage matters. I actually think that when it starts getting colder, Eddie Pinheiro might miss some kicks. This is a Florida guy. Hasn't kicked in Soldier Field in December yet. Maybe he'll struggle a little bit at that point. But I think that if he makes the kicks that matter, if he makes the big kicks in critical times, which is the one thing Cody Parkey couldn't do for us last year, then I don't think it matters what his field goal percentage is. You know, I really don't care if he misses a random third quarter field goal that has no outcome on the football game. I want to see him make those field goals in the fourth quarter when we need to make it a two-score game instead of a one-score game. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm looking for more from Eddie Pinheiro than, you know, challenging Justin Tucker for the highest field goal percentage in NFL history. Who cares? Honestly, it was nice when Robbie Gould was contending for that, but big deal. I mean, that's a personal record, an individual record for the kicker, and it would be nice if that kicker was your guy, but it doesn't help with wins and losses. And I think it'd be far more important for Cody Parkey, God forbid, for Eddie Pinheiro to make the kicks that matter as opposed to making all the kicks. It'd be great if he did. Outstanding for him if he could. But I don't think we need him to make all the kicks. We need him to make the big kicks. That's why we got him. And I think this kid is long on his way to being able to do something like that. Being able to do what he did yesterday is a huge boost of confidence. I think that that when we going forward, we might not see the same shackles on Eddie that we saw week one when we wouldn't let him kick a 51-yarder. In Soldier Field, week one, we'd rather go for it on 4th and 10 than go for the 51-yard field goal. I don't think we're gonna see that anymore this season. Anyway, I really don't. I think that we're gonna trust Eddie going forward a little bit more and ask him, "You ready to do this? You want to give this a shot? Hell yeah!" He runs out on the field. Boom! Let's do it. Field goal. Let's do it. And I think that's what we're gonna see. Going forward, I don't want to hear any more of this nonsense about, we're expanding the range that we're going to be comfortable with, blah, blah, blah. No, you got to trust him now. You can't do that anymore. It can't be something. It can only be something that Nagy and Tabor, our special teams coordinator, discuss behind closed doors privately. They cannot have this discussion with Eddie in the room because it will show a lack of trust, a lack of confidence in his ability to make those kicks. You got to let him try it. You got to let him try it. You can't be talking about this publicly anymore and making it sound like you don't trust the kid. What else do you need him to do than what he did yesterday in Denver? So anyway, that's my two cents on that. And that's going to do it for the week two review. And what do you say we go ahead and wrap this bad boy up with everybody's favorite segment, Bear Up, Bear Down. Bear up and bear down for the week two review episode. And we have more bear ups than bear downs. Odd when I was putting this list together, but it's just how it worked out. You know, I had been a little bit more generalizing on the bear down side of things, but we'll manage our way through. Bear up, David Montgomery ran the ball well. I like the ferocity that I see from this kid when he runs the football, led the team with 62 yards rushing on 18 carries. His yards per carry took a hit on that touchdown drive because he had 5 carries for about 3 yards on that touchdown drive. And I think that's probably what affected it, because there was at one point he had like 10 carries for 49 yards. He was averaging nearly 5 yards a carry at one point in the game, and that's exactly how he was running. And I just hope that the run blocking, which is actually one of our bear down to our run blocking, if he could have some clean open holes to run through, he's going to be a terror. He absolutely is, because the guy he's difficult to tackle. Number one, because he refuses to go down, and number two, because he's very shifty. He likes to make moves. There was a 3rd and 3 play, I think it was in the second quarter. He runs it up the middle, and the defender is there. He makes a spin move. The guy's left there hugging air while he leaps forward and gets the first down for the Bears. So it's not even really so much an open field thing, which I'm sure he's very dangerous in. But, he's shifty enough that you got to be sure you get a hold of him before you bring him down, because he's going to squirt away from you. And he's not going to just let you take him down. With the first contact. So I liked what I saw from Montgomery. Looking forward to seeing more. Would have liked to actually see the Bears kind of mix it up. I think he only had one target and it was an odd time for that target. He was running a wheel route down the sideline on 3rd and 3. Mitch throws it like 30 yards downfield to him instead of trying to find something shorter, being more economical. So it was kind of crazy. It's, you know, either Mitch is damned if you do, damned if you don't. It's just like he seems to go short when he should go long, and he seems to go long when he should go short. It's a mess. So anyway, bear up Montgomery, bear down to the run blocking, bear up to Kyle Fuller. Critical interception he makes on a drive where the Broncos were poised to tie up the football game. It was a 13-6. They were inside the 10-yard line, and Kyle Fuller was able to get after the football, take it away from, I think it was Philip Lindsay, the running back out of the backfield. I think it was Emmanuel Sanders, now that I think about it, was able to come away with it. That killed the drive, put an end to it with about 4.5 minutes to go. So that was a huge play of the game up to that point, that shut down a very promising drive for the Broncos, where the Bears were starting to show signs of fatigue, that the heat and everything was starting to get to them. That thin air and the altitude was starting to affect them with about 4.5 minutes to go. Kyle Fuller with the interception to shut all of that down. So bear up Kyle Fuller. That was exactly what we needed. Bear up Khalil Mack. He was his old crazy self yesterday. First sack of 2019. Strangely, did not get called for roughing the passer when he took down Joe Flacco. Probably the only time that happened. Nick Williams also had a sack that I was sure was going to get called for roughing the passer because he wrapped up Joe Flacco's legs. That's tantamount to going after the quarterback's legs. That's a penalty. That is a penalty. So I was waiting for the penalty because, you know, Nick Williams dared to go low on Flacco. God forbid. But anyway, Khalil Mack got a sack. He affected the pocket and being his old crazy self and imposing self is the word that I'm looking for. So bear up to Khalil Mack. Bear up Pat O'Donnell. Outstanding day for our special teams yesterday. Pat O'Donnell, 57.4 yards per punt and had a long of 75. And that punt of 75 yards came at a very big time. He flipped the field on that punt. The Bears were buried deep in their own territory. They thought the Broncos were going to be able to get the ball, that like the receiver was going to get the ball around the 30 or so. Maybe he gets about 8 to 10 yards, and then, you know, Broncos are starting at their own 40-yard line. Excellent field position. Instead, Pat O'Donnell put one into that thin air in Colorado and was able to turn it into a 75-yarder that had the Broncos backed up at their own 10-yard line instead. It flipped the field. Was an outstanding punt. He did that all day long yesterday. So he doesn't make this list often, but he definitely deserved to make it this week. Let's see. Bear up to the pass blocking. I mentioned that earlier. Really only like I read 5 hurries in the game. Von Miller, I think, had 1 hurry in the ball game, and no sacks given up as opposed to the 5 they gave up last week to the Packers. So a definite upgrade in performance on the pass blocking situation. If we can just incorporate the run blocking on that, then we really got something. I really thought the Bears were going to be able to gash the Broncos in the run game. Todd Davis, their best inside linebacker, did not start. He did not play on Sunday. So I really thought the Bears might be able to exploit the middle of the field with their, you know, 3rd and 4th linebackers playing on Sunday, but didn't happen, and that's why the run blocking is on the bear down list this week. Let's see, who else do we have? Well, we got 2 more bear ups, and bear up to Mitch Trubisky, and this is strictly for the play at the end of the game. You know, in the pocket, he runs up, he steps up in the pocket, fires to find a wide open Allen Robinson. He made the play we needed him to make when we needed him to make it to set up the game-winning field goal attempt. So that's good enough to make the bear down list, in my opinion, but also bear down Mitch Trubisky. that throw is what put him over 100 yards passing for the day. I think he had it was a 25-yard reception by Allen Robinson. He ended up with 120 yards passing on the day. So he had 95 yards passing in 59 minutes and 51 seconds, because that play started with 9 seconds to go. It's a lot of math I'm throwing at you guys. 59 minutes, 51 seconds of the 60-minute football game. He had 95 yards passing. Thanks to that reception, he ended up with 120. So that throw put him over 100 yards on the day. Unacceptable. And to go along with the questionable decisions that I called out earlier, the read options at the goal line that he probably could have just easily walked in instead of, you know, constantly handing it off to Montgomery. And then the play in the first drive with Tariq Cohen, great throw, bad decision. I think he should have gone short to move the chains, extend the drive, instead of trying to go big and get a big play there at the end. And obviously, it's only a wrong call because it didn't work out. But it didn't work out. It killed our first drive, and we had to go back out on the field immediately right after, you know, the first drive. The defense gave up a chunk of yardage and gave a field goal up. So, you know, let's give them a breather. Let's give them some rest. Let's move the chains. Let's do something here on offense, especially to answer for the performance you had a week before against Green Bay. But they didn't do that. Three and out, and you know, not happy with the performance. So bear up on Mitch for the last for that last throw and making the big play when we needed him to make it. Bear down for Mitch for the other 59 minutes and 51 seconds of that football game. There was very little that he did on Sunday that I was happy with. And then finally, bear down to Matt Nagy. Like I said before, I don't know if the Bears are scared, if it was fear of Miller and Chubb that we were doing the whole get the ball out of your hands quickly thing, if it's a lack of trust in Mitch after his performance last week against the Packers, if you don't trust the offensive line with those edge rushers coming at us. I don't know what it is. We're not running our offense. I honestly feel like we are not running the offense that we want to run right now. I you know, we need to get it figured out for sure. But keep in mind, we had the same struggles last year. We were great in the first 15 scripted plays last year, which is why we feel like we did better last year than we're doing this year, because I think first two games of the season we scored on our first drive, and then we struggled against Arizona in game three, but game four we scored the first seven times we touched the ball again, or five, six times that we touched the ball against the Buccaneers. So, you know, felt like early on we had a lot more success offensively than we're having early on this year. We had similar struggles, minus the opening drive touchdowns we had in week one and week two. We're having similar offensive struggles than we did last year. So hopefully we'll shake it off and get after it in the next week or two. Hopefully Washington can help us out. They've given up 30-plus points in the first two games of the year. So hopefully that's something the Bears can take advantage of next Monday on Monday Night Football, because we really got to fix this thing up. And finally, bear up. I didn't forget him, Eddie Pinheiro. If we had to do a most valuable player, most valuable Bear, that would be the guy. He scored 10 points for us yesterday, 3 field goals and an extra point. And none bigger than the field goal he made, 53 yards, with no time on the clock to win the ball game and snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. And it changes everything. It goes from 0-2, woe is me, holy Christ, we let that one get away from us. We blew the game, we're 0-2, we're in a hole, good luck, there goes the season, blah, 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 to there's optimism, there's joy. And it also lifts, it's a weight that's removed from the shoulders. You know, like you saw a celebration. I saw somebody in a Facebook group, like somehow they're in a Bears group of all places, like they're celebrating like they just won the Super Bowl. It's like, dude, number one, this place is almost impossible to win in at this time of year. They've won 7 straight home openers. Even with their terrible coach, Vance Joseph, he won both of his home openers in head coaching Denver. In the last 18 years, they're 17-1 in home openers. That's ridiculous. And you know, with this, with the weather was bearing down on us. We had 31 seconds and one timeout to go the length of the field to get a field goal, and we pulled it off. Of course they're celebrating like we just won the goddamn Super Bowl, because we might as well have, for what we just accomplished. And our kicker, which has been the biggest question mark going into the season, fulfilled his duties. And he did it in dramatic fashion with all odds against him. He pulled it off. He did the one thing we couldn't rely on last year, which was our kicker coming through for us. He came through for us in as big a situation as we faced this year, in a situation that Cody Parkey failed in every single time last year. It's a big deal. And you kind of feel like the weight is lifted. We know we have our guy now. We know now Eddie Pinheiro is the kicker of the Chicago Bears, and we know we can depend on him. And granted, small sample size, but in the situation that we needed him to step up in, he stepped up huge. He won us a football game. That's why we're 1-1 instead of 0-2, is because of him. So that's why we're celebrating, and that's why I feel like we're going to be good going forward. This, the weight of whether or not our kicker can help us has been lifted. Our kicker has been carrying us, quite frankly, in the first two games. Scored the only points we put on the board last week against Green Bay. Put up 10 of the 16 that we scored yesterday against the Broncos. So Eddie Pinheiro's the man. He's the king of Chicago right now, and he deserves to be. He is carrying the football team offensively because he's supplying 90% of our points thus far. So huge weight has been lifted, a huge weight of not being 0-2, a huge weight of being able to depend on our kicker, knowing that we have a kicker and that we're still the resilient fight-until-the-end team that we were last year. We didn't give up. We fought to the very end. And as Matt Nagy told the team, if you got the ball in 1 second, you've got a chance to win the football game. And that's exactly what we did. So I think we'll go ahead and end it there, guys. So that's going to do it for the Week 2 review episode of the Bears Talk Underground. Come back on. See, I'm going to start telling you this correctly now. Because I keep telling you, come back on Thursday, come back on Monday. That's when I'm recording these episodes. I record it on Monday, so it drops first thing on Tuesday. I'll record on Thursday so that it drops, like when you wake up in the morning on Friday, boom, there it is. There's the episode waiting for you. So the episode comes out on Friday, and I have Ian Cummings from Riggo's Rag to help us preview Bears Redskins for Week 3 on Monday Night Football. So come back then. Hit me up on the Twitters and the Facebooks, Bears Talk Underground group on Facebook. Come and say hello to me at BTU_Larry on Twitter. And until then, my name is Larry D, and this has been Bears Talk Underground.